Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita Business Journal editor Bill Roy. Bill, welcome to the Issues 2019.
Well, thanks for having me.
Seems
appreciate
like
it.
We got together last year.
That's right.
And you're back.
Yeah.
You and I have been acquainted for several years, but some of our listeners may not know about you. Give us just a brief biography of your professional life. And remember, this is only a 24-minute program. Go ahead, Bill.
Make it brief, huh? Okay. Well, after I graduated from high school, I grew up in the Kansas City area, graduated high school. My brother got back from Vietnam, and he was in radio. So I thought that was a neat thing. And I went to, after a year of working at a dairy, I then went to K-State, was there for 5 years, got a job out in Garden City, went to Kansas City in radio, and then came down here in 1988 to KFDI.
Mm-hmm. And then how did you get from there to the Business Journal?
Well, KFDI for 6 years, Eagle for three, Channel 12 for about four and a half, and then over to a private company for about 5 months when you and I connected again.
Yep.
And then over to the Business Journal. And I started in 2002, became editor in May of 2003.
Wow. You've climbed the ladder in a hurry there.
I've been kicked out of every newsroom in town,
yeah,
that's for sure.
You went to Wichita Business Journal, and you've missed a few rungs going up the ladder there. So where'd your brother work? What stations?
He was up in Colorado, in Sterling, Colorado. Okay. KGEK in Sterling, Colorado.
Okay. So you got the bug, huh?
Yeah. It was fun. We were riding along in a car, and I heard his voice on the radio, and he was sitting next to me, and I couldn't figure out how is this happening. I was, I think, 9 years old. He said, "Oh, it's on tape." What tape? What the heck is that?
Well, just to backtrack a little. You're in Kansas City, and did you get the bug there, the radio bug?
Yeah, I was a big top 40 radio guy with WHB, the world's happiest broadcasters, and KCMO, and Super Q and all that. Loved radio. Bob Mead was in there.
I knew a few of those guys.
You bet. And Charles Gray over at WDAF. And
wow.
So, yeah, really, really loved listening to those guys.
Now, how long have you been at the Business Journal, Bill?
Business Journal for, 16 years now? So, yeah.
Really?
Going on 17. Yeah, hard to believe.
Wow. Yeah. It is hard to believe because
I started doing reports
on KNSS
a month after I got there.
Wow,
only about 30 days, and then we were doing reports, and we've been doing reports ever since.
Now, is this journal part of a national company? Isn't that the way it works?
Yes, American City Business Journals, and we've got 40 markets around the country that actually put together papers every week. We have three markets that do not, and they're the largest markets, New York, L.A., and Chicago. They have just a digital-only presence.
How much of that can you rely on them, or do you, for information stories, do you get some pretty good stories out of
them? We try to be as local as possible, but there are times when, for example, Seattle will do a big Boeing story, and we'll pull something for that, or maybe St. Louis with their defense. And we'll pull that over. We can take and trade from market to market.
Talk a little bit about putting out a weekly paper. How many people do you have working at the Journal, Bill?
Well, at this point, I've got 7 people on my editorial staff. I got a research person who puts together all those top 25 lists. Then I've got the guy who designs the paper. I've got a photographer who does some digital reporting as well. I have an associate editor who is kind of my second in command, and then I have 2 reporters. So 7 of us in all doing stories for the Wichita Business Journal.
You know, and what about, do you have a sales team there?
Yeah, we've got 15 people, I think, all together. That's with a sales staff of 4 people. We have events people. Events are very important to our business, so We have two people who are in charge of events, and then our publisher.
You do a lot of events.
Yeah.
I mean, from time to time, we want you on the radio in the morning. Say, well, I got to go do this. Got to do that.
They keep
you busy.
Yeah, you bet. And that's a part of our business that has grown over the last few years because I think everybody's seen what's going on with journalism and paid journalism, those types of things, having to pay for stories. Well, we've tried to broaden out our business. We've got a signature event every month. For example, we just did our CFO awards. We're about to do our HR professionals awards. We'll do family business awards in March. So, that keeps us busy.
That stuff so locks you into the business community well.
Yeah, and it's so much fun to be able to – we obviously make those connections, and we're able to give people congratulations on a job well done. But also, it's a way for us, like you say, to really get deep into the business community and broaden out our business.
Tell us a little bit about the journal's presence on the web.
Yeah, we have it's pretty much a 24/7 web operation now. If there's a story that's breaking in the Wichita area, we're gonna put it up as soon as possible. And we have two daily emails that go out, one about 8 o'clock in the morning. It's free. We have another one that goes out about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's also free, and you click on stories in that email that we produced during the day.
What we're doing right now, you can do the same or similar in a podcast.
Right.
How often do you do those?
Every week.
Half hour, an hour?
We try to keep it. Our philosophy was a commute in the Wichita area is about 18, 19 minutes.
Right.
So we try to keep it around 20 minutes so somebody can listen to it in their car. And we've been doing it. Equity Bank has been the sponsor, and we appreciate that. 88 episodes. We'll do episode 89 this week.
Wow. You're staying busy.
Yeah, you bet.
Got an excellent vantage point on anything to do with the local business scene that you've been expressing there, the business climate.
Right.
So what do you think the climate in the Wichita area for 2019 is going to be? Are people optimistic?
Yeah, I think so. I think, we've seen lots of things happening downtown. We've got a new ballpark that's going to be built. We've got new development in the downtown core area with a new hotel and some other things. And we understand there's going to be some big announcement here pretty soon about another big project downtown. Delano has really done well. Other parts of town, whether it's northwest near Mays and New Marketplace, 29th and Greenwich. Now, the challenge is we take the good with the maybe not so good. Spirit AeroSystems obviously has come out and said in the last couple of years they need 2,400 new people. Well, we need to find the people to fill those jobs, and then a lot of those people who are filling those jobs are coming from the aerospace subcontractors.
In town.
Right.
So they're jumping jobs.
Exactly. And so now those subcontractors, those smaller shops, are having really a struggle to find those folks. I think that's our big challenge in 2019 is to be able to fill our jobs and create a bigger workforce.
I've got a couple of questions written about that for you already, but let's just go ahead and talk about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go out and find those people? Advertise somehow
in other markets. Yeah.
But that's expensive.
Yeah, you bet. There has to be a plan, and I think there is a plan. For example, the Wichita Promise Move from the WSU Tech folks, they've been able to convince some people to move to Wichita, get some training that we can use them, and they can join the workforce. Some of them have actually bought homes in the Wichita area, so that program has seen some benefits. But I tell you, it's an uphill struggle to be able to say, come to Wichita, we've got jobs, and let's face it, you've really got to make a case for Wichita and how great it is to be able to get people here.
And another part of that labor, the whole labor thing here in town, is that there are a lot of people, a good many people my age or maybe a little younger, a little older, who are saying, it's time for me to leave the workplace.
Right.
And some of those people, present company excluded, some of those people are pretty good at what they do. They've got a lot of experience,
right.
and they're valuable.
There's the whole retirement situation, too, creating another void in our workforce. How are we going to replace those folks, those baby boomers who are saying, it's time for me to take it easy. I want to enjoy life. Mm. And so I think more baby boomers are working longer. I think you and I will probably work longer than, you know, we're not going to retire at a young age. But right. I think that's a big challenge as well, is figuring out how do we backfill all these jobs that we have. It's a good problem to have, but we've got challenges.
Well, I'll speak for you. I think if you and I retire, nobody could possibly replace us.
Well, that's exactly right.
It's been a long period of recovery since 2008 for this market.
Yeah.
And I was seeing the mayor was saying the other day that we are positioned now, they had some ranking where they're like the second best recession-proof town in America or something. That surprises me.
That makes me nervous when somebody says we're recession-proof. Can't even say it. I'm so nervous about it. I think, you know, there are lots of things that could go wrong. You don't wish for them, obviously, but... you want to protect yourself. You want to make sure that the economy is diverse. I don't think we're as diverse as we like to be, as we would like to be. But healthcare, you know, there's a lot of work to do in healthcare. There's obviously aviation and manufacturing. Oil and gas is struggling a bit and may struggle through 2019.
But things are looking better at least at the aircraft plants right now.
I think so. And the outlook for business jets is better, too. Obviously, Spirit handles the commercial side, but the outlook for business jets, we understand, is maybe not as strong as they thought it was going to be late 18, but we have some forecasts in early 19 that it's still going to be a strong market for business jets, and obviously that's good for Cessna, Textron Aviation, Bombardier.
And when you talk about them, you're talking about those little subcontractors too.
Right, absolutely. Those companies that depend so much on those bigger companies.
You're listening to Issues 2019 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is Wichita Business Journal editor Bill Roy. You know, Bill, Wichita seems to be facing an unusual dilemma, as you were saying, plenty of jobs, but not enough qualified workers. And we're talking about looking around the rest of the country. I'm just thinking, you know, if I'm somebody, I say, okay, the city comes to me and says, I want you to go find me some jobs, and I'm a marketing person. I don't even know where I would start. But
right.
You can't really go out and take ads in newspapers, I wouldn't think. But you got to do something social. Yeah, that's
there are some of those things that are going on. I think Spirit has had a job fair in Dallas, I think, in the past year or so. I think Textron has also done that as well. I think you have to be strategic about it. And from what we understand, those companies are looking at other manufacturing hubs around the country and looking at their job force and seeing if there are ways to get those people to come to Wichita to fill those jobs.
Attracting and retaining workers, the big challenge. What do you think our top selling points are for this community?
Well, I think obviously, as I mentioned before, the low commute time. You can buy more house here than you can in so many other places in the country. It's a great place to raise a family. Mm-hmm. It's almost a cliche now. We don't have mountains. We don't have beaches. But what we do have is a lot of green space. We have a great standard of living, a great quality of life. That's getting better. There are some improvements. So those are some of the selling points, and hopefully we're shouting it from the rooftops.
You know, my wife, Shelley, worked 8 years at Rent-A-Center.
Right.
And she was in charge of, well, not in charge, but she was helping to bring the executives in, some pretty high-priced guys
right.
and people coming in from around the country. They all said basically the same thing. I can get a lot of more house for my money than
absolutely.
I could in Miami or wherever they were from.
You know, we used to take the best in business trip out to California, and we look at some of the homes there in the Napa Valley area, just a small home, maybe a two-bedroom home. How much is that worth? Oh, about $1 million.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And so to be able to come to Wichita and get a nice house, be in a nice neighborhood, and, you know, they're doing it at Koch Industries and Invista. We bring in a lot of executives there. Thank goodness for Koch Industries and Invista being here, you know, and not, you know, looking at other companies to locate.
Well, that's just when I talk about Rent-A-Center.
Right.
I talk about Pizza Hut. Talk about other corporations, Coleman, have come and gone.
Right.
We need to get a couple here and just keep them here somehow.
Absolutely. You know, that's a big difference from when you and I were younger in the 70s and 80s. We had people who were, for example, Boeing. Their CEO was invested in the community. Jordan Haynes, for example, at Bank Four, local big banker, he was invested in the community. Coleman Jones was invested in the community. We see some of these companies that are no longer really – they're based here, but they have CEOs that kind of come and go like Spirit has. Now, I think Tom Gentile at Spirit is a little bit more invested in the community, but not like they were in the past, for example. So we're looking for some of those folks to step up and really be community players and care about Wichita.
So let's change gears a little bit. What are your thoughts on the new stadium?
Well, I'm talking about
the new Wichita downtown stadium.
Right, okay. Right. It was interesting that the rendering that we saw when it was announced is a lot different from the rendering that we saw the other day, the renderings that came out last week. I'm underwhelmed.
Well,
no offense, guys,
no,
but I'm underwhelmed. We put it to our emerging leaders. We have a group of emerging leaders, about 50, 75 of them, who get together with us in roundtables. They also were underwhelmed. They want Wichita to take big, bold action, and they're not convinced that this is it. Mm. Now, you know, maybe as time goes on, maybe some design changes and as it connects to the other things that are around it, we'll have a better feeling about it.
I don't know if you remember Jack DeBoer saying the keeper of the plane should be 300 feet tall.
Should be
not 60 feet.
Exactly. It should be at least 1 foot taller than the Statue of Liberty. I remember him rolling out that plan. It was a $300 million plan for downtown Wichita. He was scoffed at, and DeBoer was a visionary.
Jack's a visionary. He's a dreamer. He saw things.
And yeah.
I think we need a little more of that, huh?
I agree. And one point that our emerging leaders brought up last week was, you know, we get these big proposals that are kind of then our expectations are dropped down a little bit. Mm. You remember Waterwalk, speaking of Jack DeBoer?
Yeah.
Bass Pro, we're going to get Bass Pro in there, and we got Gander Mountain, and there's really not a lot of development around that area.
Right.
River Vista is going to be not only apartments, but it's going to be some retail in there and some other things that are connected to the river. Well, it's apartments at this point.
Yeah.
And so there have been things that have been, you know, big out of the gate, and the expectations kind of dialed back a little bit. And that's what they hope doesn't happen in the future.
Too realistic, too pessimistic sometimes?
I think sometimes, but they also say, you know, if you're going to build it, you know, and do something, and I, especially the younger generation of leaders in Wichita.
Where do you think we're headed on the Arts and Convention Center or centers?
Well, you know, I think that decision is going to be a ways away. You know, Mary Beth Jarvis is the chair of that committee. And they were kind of hoping to have something back to the community or a recommendation to city council late last year, early this year. But I think they want to get more public input. That could be a year away. You know, they could take this entire year on the performing arts side. Now, I'm hearing that as far as the convention side of things, that may move a little faster. That doesn't take as long to do, and they could get that up and running.
We're thinking there's going to be separate things.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And it's a good point. I wonder sometimes, do we ask for too much community input?
Sometimes. How much is enough?
If we're going to pay for it, these people are the taxpayers.
Right, right.
But yeah, at what point do you say, okay, that's good. You know, right. I give input around here, and it's pretty much ignored. But
let's say you have equal voices on either side. There may be more than one side.
Yeah.
Okay, who do you go with? Not doing anything is not an option. So you got to, at some point, say, okay, this is our direction, this is where we're going, and this is what we're going
to
do.
I think we probably need a dictator instead of a mayor today.
Or a benevolent dictator
make those decisions.
I appreciate your input, and here's where we're going.
And as long as we agree with it, we'll be okay.
Sure.
Okay. So tell us about the Wichita Business Journal's efforts. You brushed on this a minute ago, to recognize excellence in various professions and businesses. I would think you guys talk about physicians, and I would think a physician is, you know, so above being flattered in any way, you know. But I bet they chew it up. I bet they really like it.
Yeah,
the recognition.
I think so. I think, you know, there are opportunities, especially, for example, like CFOs or HR professionals. Those folks are behind the scenes. They're not CEOs.
True.
They're not in the news all the time. They're behind the scenes. And so they don't get some of the credit that they're due. We do a Best Doctors or Healthcare Heroes those are guys who are kind of out. You recognize some of the names, you know, of the physicians here in town. But it's also important to give them some recognition, too, I think. And so then there are the organizations best in business, those who do really well at putting together companies that do a lot, not only in their industry, but their community. And then, you know, best places to work, that's a score of the employees. The employees take a survey.
Yep.
The surveys are tabulated. There's a score, and we talk about, yeah, these companies do well every year. For Schofield Honda is one of those things that one of those companies who's a finalist every year. It seems like
you're one of a few people I know, Bill, who's worked in radio, television, and print. I'm not going to ask you for your favorite, but
oh, go ahead.
What's your favorite?
I love radio. I love the immediacy of radio.
I know you do that podcast.
Yeah,
which is the same thing. You know?
Yeah, I just love. You know, us talking, having a conversation and people listening and learning and doing the news. I think the immediacy of news is so important, and I just love radio.
What's your impression of local television?
I think it's interesting. We ask a question, for example, of all our career women participants and our emerging leaders. Who gets the daily paper? Who watches local news? Who listens to radio? Those
right.
types of things. Very few people. Fewer and fewer people even have cable television, and even fewer people say they watch 5, 6, 10 o'clock news.
Locally?
Locally.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No. And it's surprising to me. And so I think local news really has to rethink what they're doing. You know,
well,
that formula has been around for 40 years. I think they really have to be more interactive, and they have to find different ways to tell stories, or there's going to be changes. They're going to continue to watch their audience go away.
Now, we saw what's happened with newspapers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been tough. And a community is stronger with a strong daily newspaper. I hate to see what's going on up the street from me, the place I worked at, with people who are my friends.
Yeah, bless them.
Yeah. We've been able to take advantage of that. Kirk Semenoff is my associate editor. I'm glad for that. But yeah.
Who has influenced you along the way? Can you think of one or two people who have been really good influence?
I have to say my mentor up at K-State was a guy named Richard Baker. I think you know Richard from Extension Radio up there at K-State. He's been there for 30, 40 years. He's just retiring. Great guy. Taught me a lot about doing news and especially about longer form news. Also, old Dan Dillon.
Dan Dillon, who was at KFDI for years and also is now with the District Attorney's Office.
He's been a good friend, but also when I got to Wichita, taught me so much about covering spot news, local news, breaking news. Great guy.
Those are two, huh?
Yeah. And
you got to mention me.
Steve McIntosh, you know, being a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, please.
You know.
More. There's ham in us. We do.
Oh, sure,
like, we
sure.
love the attention.
But I mean, that's part of what you do and why you do it.
Yeah.
And I think there are folks you listen to on the radio or watch on TV, you emulate, and that becomes part of what you do.
Sure.
I know I've absorbed some of the things that you do on the air, and that's part of my either delivery or the way I report news. You know?
We learn from each other, competitors.
You
You're right. Hey, here's a big question for you. You got a name for the new minor league baseball team?
Oh, man.
This is our final question.
Yeah, I
you don't
I like something.
You don't want anything too cute.
Right.
You want something that's got some, you know.
But, you know, the baby cakes, the thing is, you've got to find something, well, you don't gotta, but you should find something that is appealing locally, but also you can buy some merchandise. The baby cakes were big on merchandise.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They're talking about the wind socks. You know, I don't know. I haven't heard one that really, you know, knocks my hat in the creek. So.
All right. Well, we've got time, I guess, to think about it.
Yeah.
About 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for doing this.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I think we could do this every week, don't you?
You bet. That'd be fun.
Our guest is Wichita Business Journal editor Bill Roy. That's all for this edition of Issues 2019. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
We're at
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.